Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Logan and I meet on Tinder first, and, you know, we were talking about books and shit because Logan and I'm like, oh, word, that's what you read in bed, you know.
Well, Jeff had a profile. I don't know if this is a thing for straight people, but, like, Jeff had a profile where he had all the different flags representing the different languages that he spoke.
Of course he
fucking did. And then he also had... In his Tinder pictures, he had this photo of him, like, wearing a suit, standing at a lectern. And I was like, this guy looks kind of arrogant, but, like, in a hot way. So I'm gonna look into this. Yeah.
Now check it out. Now look, the apple don't fall far from trees, right? I'm in the land of milk and honey with the bees, like. And if I'm ripping it, what I'm so with my seeds, like. Now check it out.
I've been a father since I was a toddler. I would teach a mother. Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy.
Oh, and this is my intro.
Mikey.
And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
Welcome all. We're thankful you tuned in.
Yeah, we're still doing this podcast thing. We're still recording. Right? Randy's still with me. We're going to keep this thing going.
So continuing with
Let me celebrate the small
victory. I was your lead. Go ahead.
So continuing with the theme of plot twist, we're interviewing another married couple for this episode, and they are some of our favorite people in the world.
In the whole wide world.
Yes. They have gotten us through...
And sat with us.
Through mad shit.
During really great times.
I was going to dive into like a deep dive of situations, but that would require an episode time.
Jesus,
I know.
Right.
But yeah, no, we're gonna interview some people that we really, really love. So we're really excited to get into that. In our first segment, we're going to chat with Jeff Martin.
Yeah.
And Logan Lochner.
Ooh.
About the ways that they have had to be brave in marriage.
Damn. That's deep.
Because that's all married. Being married is.
That's all it should be. But, you know, we're not judging y'all. Finally, we'll wrap it up with a PDA segment where we show each other some love and or thank each other for something.
Yes. As y'all know, on episodes where we do full-blown interviews with people.
We do not have a fight or flight.
We will not have a fight or flight because I don't want to fight with my wife. I want to love on my wife.
Mm.
And so we end with joy.
And we hope you enjoy. And we're back.
We are back.
So.
Main topic.
So the main topic is a brave marriage. So mm-hmm. We have been planning this interview since we launched the podcast in 2018.
Yeah, they were going to be our first guest. I think we talked about when we started talking about the concept of interviews. We were like, we're going to get the asses on here immediately.
But we couldn't figure out a topic and we couldn't settle on a time because everybody
is busy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, pandemic.
Right. So once we decided that we were officially going to have Jeff and Logan on, we knew we had to talk to them about bravery.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we've been having conversations about what the last 2 years have been like for us. They've been really difficult.
Yeah.
And we realized that before the last 2 years, like in these last 2 years, we've been moving in fear. So that means like every decision we've ever made.
It's fear-based. It is a fight or flight response to like
trauma.
Life. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no way to live. Randy and I had an even deeper conversation about this last night.
Yeah.
which sucked because we are finally like baby free for the weekend.
Another weekend, y'all.
And a young nigga wasn't trying to be in his emotions. You know, but I was trying to be in pants. But, you know, we start talking like we do. And because of that, it becomes a deep conversation like it always is.
Right.
And yeah, so we got into this concept of what it means to be brave in your marriage.
And so that got us thinking we wanted to center this episode about the ways love, and in this instance, love and marriage, forces us or asks us to be brave. And so Jeff and Logan have had to do this on so many levels.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Because we know brave people, but these niggas... All right.
So, like
the specific bravery that they show given their entire life setup.
Yeah.
What we know about Jeff, because Jeff has been our friend for over 15 years, if I did math correctly in my head.
I think you're just guessing.
No, it's 20
something. I think you're just guessing.
No, it was almost 20. Yeah, I met Jeff when I was 10. 11. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's been...
I was 9. Really? I was 8, turning 9.
These are some brave individuals just because of how their life is set up. So them stepping into marriage is just also interesting. It adds another level, and I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nobody else that we could think of that would actually bring depth, honesty, and some humor to this very deep conversation. Mm-hmm. So first, Jeff and Logan, please introduce yourselves. Jeff, you want paper, scissors, rock? You go first.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Martin. I'm going to work on my on this interview. I had the wonderful privilege of being one of Drew's godparents. Ooh. With this guy. And my life outside of that, I am an emerging artist. I do a lot of writing and music and film. But I'm really trying to understand how to use those things to, I don't know, make a better world. Let's just say that. You know, fuck some shit up, destroy the patriarchy, all those good things. In my daytime work, I am a product manager and I advise a lot of companies and organizations here locally in Atlanta.
Hi, I'm Logan Lochner, Jeff's husband. I met Randy and Mikey through Jeff, and they were some of the first people who, well, let's just say Jeff had a lot of very close friends. He still does, but when we first met each other, I was like really, really struck by how closely held Jeff kept his friends, like especially friends who'd he'd had for his entire life. And Randy and Mikey were some of the first people who it was made very clear to me that like these are friends who are almost like family or who are family. So building my relationship with Randy and Mikey has been amazing. And then I'm totally obsessed with Drew and especially her dinosaur dress. And yeah.
We also are godparents of Groot. We have to remember
y'all
that.
Y'all are, because yeah, no one else wanted to be.
Really upset because Groot was like, I was here first.
Yeah, Groot was here first. Yes. Y'all are also godparents of Drew. I'm Groot.
Right. And then also, I, like Randy, am a writer and have always loved talking to her about that. And so I work as a writer and editor at a magazine here in Atlanta.
Yeah. And Mikey and I are both in tech, so that makes sense. But I also write, too, so I'm a weirdo.
You are. Thank y'all so much. So we've kind of like adopted this from Raising Rebels. Nalika does a recollection with her guests, and so we wanted to do a recollection, and everyone will go. We'll go Jeff, Logan, me, Mike, and basically the question is, when was a time in your childhood when you were afraid? It doesn't have to be the first time. It could be the most pivotal time or just a time that first comes to mind, but when was a time in your childhood when you were afraid? Go ahead, Jeff.
I would honestly have to say that the first time that I was really, really afraid was when I knew that me and my dad wouldn't necessarily mix because of my orientation and how I maneuvered myself in the world. And, you know, I had to face that fear, you know, all the worst things happen. And I think, you know, now in my adulthood, it's a little different. Like I kind of, yeah, it's something that still is present, I would say. But yeah, that was something that very much I was afraid of. It's an interesting thing to relearn how to, as a Black man, to re-love Black men after the first one that was quote unquote supposed to be that person, like wasn't that person, you know, could meet certain things and did the best that he could. Cause again, mental illness and lots of things are really prevalent, you know, even, you know, myself working through those things myself. But yeah, it's just kind of knowing our similarities and like what could happen if I didn't do the things that I needed to do. So I would say that that would be my like afraidness thing that I, yeah, just.
Around what age would you say that was?
That was probably 7 or 8.
Mm. That's a really early time to have to.
No fear.
Be brave. Confront fear. You know, just. Well, and usually whenever we ask about recollections, thank you, Jeff. We somehow seem to stumble on the fact that it happened when we were like 7 or 8. Those seem to be like our earliest memories of like real shit. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Logan?
Yeah, I mean, I think like Jeff, the fear that like comes to my mind most immediately is it's not fear that's necessarily based around an isolated individual incident, but it's more of like a pervasive anxiety, like sort of like you were mentioning earlier, like learning that you've made all of these decisions for the past 2 years based on fear. Like looking back now, I realize that that was sort of just like the ground floor that I was moving from like as a kid. And similarly to Jeff, I mean, I think even though I definitely didn't have language for it at the time, like when I was 7 or 8, like by that time I did know that there was something different about me that could potentially cause my family to reject me or for me to sort of be like without a place in the world, even though I didn't know at that time that that was like being queer, you know, I didn't have that language for it. And I would say that as I got older, especially like in middle school and high school, there were like all these things that sort of became proxies for that fear. So I would get really anxious about like individual things. And now looking back, I realize like, oh, that was just all like fear of rejection expressing itself in multiple ways, you know, with multiple points of focus. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Randy. For me, I still am having a problem answering this question because there's so many that want to go, like, that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I have so many, but, well, I think that one of the moments of fear that stand out to me that still impacts me today is hearing my parents argue in like a closed room. Like when I'm in a closed room and they're like out, and again, you know, it wasn't all bad or anything, but when they would fight or argue, it was something I definitely catastrophized, because as kids, that's what we do. And we want everybody to get along and be happy. And let's go back to when it was good 2-3 hours ago. And even now, I can't stand to hear like muffled talking still sets me off. I'm just like, what's happening? And y'all know that we're here with his mom and we rent out the basement, and even upstairs, like when there's, you can't tell if it's laughter. Did somebody fall? Is somebody hitting somebody? You know, and we run upstairs and they just watching a movie. And it's just like, I need help. I need to talk to somebody, because that's definitely, it freaked me out because
trauma response.
Right. I couldn't, you can't control it. Obviously, if you're trying to interrupt a parent's conversation, especially when it's an argument, the first thing they do is tell you to go away, you know, and so having no control over being able to mediate or to stop it has always just been something that's freaked me out, which is why I didn't want that in my relationship, but we'll get into that. I mean, we argue, but like, I'm hoping that it doesn't set off like a trauma response to Drew. But yeah, that's a moment, just a general arguing, fighting moment.
Well, I think I can kind of relate to that, because especially like in terms of the muffled sounds being sort of activating, like I think part of what is activating about that is like the ambiguity and like uncertainty. So it's just like you're unsure if something bad is happening, and that lack of certainty is what's so terrifying.
But it also, as her immediate response, because she's unsure, the first thing she's thinking that is the bad thing.
Yeah.
Like immediately, like, oh, it's this thing, so we need to be prepared for this thing, which is why the last time
the anxiety will take you there too.
Yeah. The last time when it actually was laughter, it was just so.
I was like, I was shaking.
It was so sad because it's not that you're crazy. It's not that you're crazy at all, because literally the last time you heard these sound effects,
it was
not
somebody
just even
fighting
in your childhood, but it was fighting. You know, it was arguing. So like
I'm up here shaking. I ain't got no clothes on. I'm like, are y'all okay? And he's just like, yeah, we're just watching the movie.
I got gun in hand.
Mikey got his gun in the pocket. I'm like, get the baby. Is everyone good? What was happening? Anyway,
yeah, we were having like a whole Tyler Perry moment.
Yeah.
That is what it looked like.
All right, Mike, what's yours?
That was a good one, man. It wasn't a good one. It's a sad one, but that makes sense. Can you talk about fear in a positive way?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I spent all my childhood being afraid. So if I really think about a specific instance, one that came to mind was when we first moved to Eastlake. We moved to Eastlake from Scottsdale. So I'm from Oak Forest originally. And to go from government housing to this, like, really, at this point, this was like the fanciest shit ever that I've ever experienced in life, especially coming from what we come from. And I had my own room. And while I was extremely happy to have my own space, to have something that belonged to me, and my mom, you know, swore up and down, like, you know, this is where we're living from now on. We are not, you know, leaving this area. This room is yours. You can do with it what you want. We didn't have furniture when we first moved in. So the first night when she was showing us the apartment, because she was extremely proud of it, I went in my room. We ate dinner on the floor in the living room space because we didn't have furniture yet. And then after dinner, she was like, y'all can hang out for a little bit before we go back to our old apartment, because that's where all our stuff was. And I just remember going in a room for a minute and I just started crying because I just knew I wasn't going to have this shit for long. I was just like, somebody's going to come take this. I'm not really good at enjoying shit that I get that's like a gift or something that's like positive, because I just know. There's nothing you could tell me. I know that at some point it's going to be taken away in some form or fashion. And it could just be because as a kid, I was threatened to always have the little shit that I had being taken away. But that just kind of stuck with me. It's kind of stuck with me. Like, moving on to college, I got a PlayStation from my aunt as a gift. And while I was really excited to have it, I wouldn't open it for like a week because I thought maybe somebody was going to take it back. So I dead ass just slept with the box next to my dorm bed. Like, just I struggle with like just receiving shit and gifts and things in general, just because I just don't think I'm supposed to like have nice things, maybe, which kind of speaks to our lots relationship and other things. But I'm trying to enjoy life and actually appreciate shit while I have it, even if it is going to be taken away from me tragically, whether it's immediate or through old age. I don't know. I'm still working on it, but that's one of the first things I could think of. So I can't enjoy shit.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Yeah,
I know it's a lot. You're working on it. You can enjoy
it.
It doesn't come naturally to you.
It don't,
and that's okay.
Yeah, it's something for me, and Logan's learned this too. Like, I don't take death really easy. Like, I'm a hot mess.
Yeah,
you know, grieving is something that I like have learned that I have to do, or it like will turn into a stroke later. So I definitely, that resonates what you said. That was definitely some stuff. I think when we started dating, I had to like do a lot of trauma work around given the origin stuff. So I feel that.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Speaking of dating, tell us.
Ooh, transition queen.
You see that? You see that?
I like how you did
that.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Do
you tell us your love story. Together, if you can. So, Jeff, you start because you won the rock, paper, scissors. And, like, y'all just go off of each other because we're really interested to see what you remember.
I don't know how y'all met. So, I would love to hear the story of what led to y'all becoming a couple.
Right.
So, yes.
Word. So.
Yeah, let me just tell you, it's not surprising.
So.
I bet you Jeff was the nigga, like, did the nigga shit. And, like, set it up.
Hey. I'm gonna talk about it. Hey, now. So I moved back from Providence, Rhode Island. Logan and I meet on Tinder first, and you know, we were talking about books and shit because Logan and I'm like, oh word, that's what you reading? Bet, you know.
Well, Jeff had a profile. I don't know if this is a thing for straight people, but like Jeff had a profile where he had all the different flags representing the different languages that he spoke.
Of course he
so, did. And then he also had, in his Tinder pictures, he had this photo of him, like, wearing a suit standing at a lectern. And I was like, this guy looks kind of arrogant, but, like, in a hot way. So I'm gonna look into this. Yeah.
So after he looked into it, he ghosted me.
Well, I think it's important to note that this fall, the fall when that happened.
This is in the summer. I'm talking about July before that.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. So I was freelancing in my life and coming back to Atlanta because I hadn't been my full non, I hadn't been my full non-hetero self in Atlanta due to trauma, okay? And I came back, you know. I ended up, at the time, before Logan, I was dating a friend of mine for a while named...
Wait, you're just dropping names?
We can bleep it. We'll bleep it out.
Oh, yeah. Even when... Yeah, bleep it out.
What the but fuck? Like,
whatever, girl.
You're just out here doxing people.
Yeah, we were dating. King and them, look. King and them know... All this shit.
That was a bleep.
We're not, we're gonna take it out. Don't worry.
Just bleep.
We're like not gonna say where we work, but we're just gonna name our exes.
Girl, listen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What was I saying before?
You were talking about your
lie. He ghosted you.
I did not say being a hoe in Atlanta. I said I haven't been a chance.
That's not how you delicately worded it, Jeffrey.
Listen,
but that is
whatever.
What you said.
Hoe is life. We talk about this in our relationship. Same, same. Okay. So, yeah, but. At this time, I was not a hoe because my girlfriend was very, very religious at the time. And she really tried to make our relationship into the religion. And for me, being who I was like, hey, like, I'm down to, like, try Christianity again. But we need to really talk about why, as a feminist, do I have to say God our Father? Like, what would the religion be if it wasn't centered around a man? And, like, she was also from Nigeria. So I was like, okay, like, you also have a different relationship to blackness than I do. So, like, what happened before? Like, what is spirituality before those things? And it, like, made our... It was interesting. Like, I think it was cool. I really, you know, when we broke up, I was like, hey, I can't handle this. You can't handle this. You know, I was getting in therapy. I hope and pray that... Sis got some things too. But yeah, October happened. I came back. I was taking care of my equivalent of grandmother at the time who was in hospice. And this is around the same time. She had passed away, but this is around the same time Logan's grandfather passed away. So, like, we reconnected again, but death happened. And, you know, I was really in a relationship and trying to do it right despite the mental health things that we both really weren't supporting each other with in that relationship. Because, you know, once you go through trauma stuff, you just beget more trauma if you don't learn how to readjust that behavior, in my opinion.
Basically, we were both mourning. That was
my
point.
Yeah, and we were both mourning. So, sorry. You know, y'all edit whatever you need to. But when we got to January, we met again on the internet. Met on Grindr this time. Not Tinder.
This is a millennial relationship. A
little more.
That's why I said it's not surprising.
Yeah. Then we hit on Grindr. And I was like, oh, like, I feel like I talked to you. So this is like a month after. I was like, okay, bet. You know, Honor Code was really, we were about to get our first clients in New Orleans. So we were getting ready to do work there. I was getting ready to go to California for a month. I met this guy, and for me, again, hoe is life. I was like, I just got out of this relationship, you know, friends with benefits. That's what I was looking forward to. I think he was, too. He's going to get to his side. I'm going to stop because I want to get to the part when I walked in and the food was present.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I had just started a new... This was, like, very early 2016, I guess, and I had just started a new job, and I was sort of... coming out of a string of like post-college like situationships and was sort of like, I want to still like get mine, but I'm also not trying to be like tied down right now. I have this new job. So like Jeff said, I think I came into it thinking this was going to be a mostly like friends with benefits situation, which in some ways is I actually think one of the secrets to why it worked, because previously I had always entered relationships so seriously and like so dead serious that I think taking this a little more lightly like allowed me to be comfortable being myself, you know? So I was like, instead of trying to be the person that I thought Jeff wanted me to be, I was remarkably direct, I think, like when we first started talking.
I mean
I guess just to sort of get to a point where our timelines meet, we reconnected on Grindr, and I think originally the idea was that we were going to go on a date
on a Thursday
later that week.
But then
yeah.
We hung out on a Sunday Eve,
and then we couldn't wait till Thursday.
He made this dinner thing, and he had these really cute shorts on, and I was like, "Oh shit! Like this is not. I didn't think I thought that this was going to be whole life. This is like, oh, food, good food.
I mean, it was sort of coincidental. I just made dinner and I was like, hey, do you want...
I was like, oh, shit, this is different. This is different. And then, like, me being the shady, shady guy I am, I see this gay-ass Hillary sticker on his fridge. And I'm literally eating...
Like I said, this was early 2016.
I'm literally eating in this man's house. And I'm like, oh, you one of them. As I'm putting this delicious pastry in my mouth, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm already... Because I was Bernie. I still voted Bernie. You know, Hillary's... And her husband did some things to the community that I had to fight my, like, ops of things against. And I was like, but wait, there's more. And so, yeah, we had a full 3-hour discussion about Bernie and motherfucking Hillary's politics and the history of that bullshit.
Wait, real quick. So y'all first date, y'all talked about politics.
Politics, of course y'all did.
Yeah.
Of course y'all did.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yo, and it was lit. And
actually kind of like disagreed.
Yeah. I was like, okay, bet, I see this. But then
we also fucked.
Yeah. and the thing about it was Logan was being so shy and me, I was like, well, this is happening.
I just love anticipation.
I was like, I know what's happening. The other thing about it was too, that Eve, we kind of talked about some of our relationship trauma and it was like, it was different than when other people, because at the time I was dating 4 other people and seeing Logan and none of them were up to snuff. So, you know, date, dinner, motherfucking stimulating dialogue. I got a chance to stay over. He had to wake up at like 5 a.m.
This new bakery job.
I was like, oh, shit. I didn't really have a job at the time because I was starting my company. I was like, damn, I got a sugar daddy. Oh,
wee. So after we met that first.
Yo.
After we met that first night, we continued for the next like 7 days to see each other every day.
Never did this in my whole life. The gays became like lesbians. Like, this is what you hear is like a quintessential lesbian love is like
where you meet and then like move in together immediately. We kind of
did
that. But
then I went to California for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so we spent every day together for 7 days after meeting, and then he goes to California for 2 weeks.
Oh, and we both said we loved each other in the first week, by the way.
Aww.
Well, yeah, so as I'm dropping Jeff off at his house, so for him to go to California, as he's getting out of my car, he's like, I love you.
Aww.
And I had to say it back because I couldn't, like, leave him hanging there.
Because this is Logan.
Because it was me and because I was trying to protect myself.
Look, just because we said that, like, you're going to California, that don't mean nothing. Me, I was in here. I'm like, whoa. Like, I understand.
Trying to protect myself. And
again,
I was like,
Beyonce was on the Savage remix. She said, on Demon Time, she might start an OnlyFans. Beyonce, like my friend Cecily has said before, ho is life. If Beyonce can say that, listen, I'm sorry.
Logan's saying no.
Okay.
Okay, well, so.
So let me, just to clarify. First date, you discussed 3 of the topics that you're not supposed to discuss on the first date,
right,
including politics. Did religion come up at all, just out of curiosity?
Okay, so
they hit on the major ones.
Yeah.
Had sex for the first time.
He was so recently traumatized by his religious girlfriend.
Gotcha.
Right.
So I figured that, okay. So again, you discussed trauma. Also,
I remember.
You all brought up your individual traumas, again, first date. Had sex and then fell in love within the course of 7 days.
Oh, and Jeff also cried that first night.
It wasn't the first night.
The morning after.
It was not the morning. You said some shit and it hit me in my heart. And, you know, it hit me in my heart.
Oh, man.
You know, he said, you are deserving of love. And again, ho
you
is
are.
Like, I literally have been out here with these scrubs.
This is why I'm so confused, Jeffrey. This
that.
Is not
also,
who I know.
It
at
wasn't
all.
Just, hold up. It wasn't just me crying. Listen, I'm not going to talk dirty on the podcast. There were some other things that just popped off. And I was like, oh, bet. This is it. This is it, son. This is it. Physically, I personally, as a person who's had more than one sexual partner, I just knew who I was with. I was like, oh shit, the dialogue, the physical stuff, the depth.
I can relate to that.
The food.
Right.
Again, not my company hadn't popped off yet. I was like, I have a sugar daddy. This is literally, I didn't even ask for this. I didn't go to school for this. And then it popped off. I was like, oh, shit.
Well, we're happy it popped off because we love you both. And Logan That's just brings something story. Special. He brings something special to the family.
Root Insurance is all about you and how you drive. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price, which puts you in control. Just download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate. It's car insurance made for you. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
So when did y'all get married?
April 7th, 2019.
Yes, we were. A lot of people were there. We were there 5 weeks postpartum. Looking mm-hmm. crazy, but happy to be there.
Crazy and, day and eve for us too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that. So what's an instance in your marriage where you've had to be brave?
We want each of you to give us a one thing each.
So Logan, you go first, since Jeff was the last one to speak.
An instance where I've had to be brave in our marriage.
Yes.
So you guys have officially been married for a year now.
And a little over a year.
A little over a year.
I mean, there are a lot of good instances. And I really like the idea of framing it around like this idea of bravery, because so often it's easy to view it as like, this was challenging, but it's also possible to be like, no, this was a time that I could like step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to like be sensational or political or anything, but I do think that it has required bravery and like just learning my lane sometimes when it comes to like navigating being a white person in a relationship with a black person. And I think that that has been something that, you know, has like always been present in our relationship, obviously, and like navigating that dynamic. And, you know, since like, I mean, some of the very first sort of significant arguments we had were basically because I was just being like a little kind of snide asshole and like not really thinking about how my whiteness also amplified that in a certain way to Jeff. But even up through like, you know, the events of this summer and the sort of much more sort of publicly mainstream conversation about race in America, it's been one of the things that I think I knew from my childhood and from growing up that like it was very important for me to build a life that was not centered around sort of homogenous white culture, because I found that stifling and violent too in its own way for me as a queer person. And I'm not saying that I necessarily like went out with the intention of ending up in an interracial relationship, even though that doesn't particularly surprise me necessarily given like my romantic history. But I don't know. It's been something that like I never think necessarily that it's going to be a process that is over. But it just like it, and I'm really not trying to like. In some ways, race and like racial dynamics like sounds like such a specific, particular thing, but it really just touches everything like communication, trust, like the way we talk about money, the way we divide labor in the house, the way we like contemplate having children. So it's something that, yeah, I'm always learning about and like always thankful that I have this opportunity to like integrate that into my life on a very like personal, intimate level, and that it's not just like a sociological abstract thing for me, because I feel like it is that way for many white people, even when they're very well-intentioned.
Wow.
That was
such a beautiful answer.
Different things to hit on. First,
I will not cry today. I am not going to cry today, Logan. I rebuke you.
Logan, your experience in your life is not a political statement, my guy. Like, I know that you felt the need to, like, bring that. It is simply your lived experience.
And your marriage.
That's your marriage. That's your relationship. So we completely get that. And you have to be 100% brave to enter into a life bond with a black man, just period. That is a difficult thing. But then if you add to the fact that that person is Jeff, it's also like,
we're not about to do Jeff.
It's not because Jeff is like the worst person ever. It's just that Jeff is also just extremely the fuck aware of like himself. And once he like grew up, it changed even more. So like being with somebody who is extremely aware of themselves and they black as fuck and you white as fuck, gotta be difficult as fuck. Like, it's just like when you just thinking about it from that perspective.
That's why I'm married black. I love y'all, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all teaching us so much.
Man.
Jeff.
So thank you,
Logan. Thank you, Logan.
I don't know. And say the question one more time.
What's an instance in your marriage where you had to be brave?
I think for me, being a black queer person with a disability that is really figuring out themselves in an art world, learning from people who've done it the right way, but also being in a pretty much like a really capitalistic place and, you know, making sure that we're able to build a family while also like scrapping all of those identities away and trying to figure out who I am has been really hard. I think for me, and just to kind of connect off of what Logan brought up, quite often being a black non-hetero person in the South, you know, you deal with racism, so you can't really, first of all, like, you can't trust in whiteness to save you. Like, that's never going to happen. And, you know, even with, you know, it's just things to think about. Then you have the black community, which, you know, 20% of them are decent when it comes down to understanding and being allies and accomplices to queer and trans people. The other 80 is doing shit like saying like he, she, this, and the fags this, and like not really, you know, are kicking their kids out. And that's all tied to a little bit of self-hatred that comes along with the black male cisgendered experience, just speaking from it on a personal level. Then you have to like deconstruct how, as a black man, you know, you're taught to hate women. And, you know, you're also taught to hate yourself. You're taught to hate women. You have this disability. You have this thing that you want to do. You're really smart. And you have to like figure out appropriate techniques in order to just like manifest and like be you. And it's not always easy. And also just kind of chiming in on what Mikey said too, like, I am a person where I'm like, you know, I can hold space for people who don't want to understand defund the police, but that's something I want to talk about. I want to talk about increasing BIPOC representation in corporations, in nonprofits. Like, it's doable. Like, what does it look to have community stewardship? What does it look to have mutual aid? I think that being a black queer person, which is something my husband doesn't understand often, like, it's really hard not to be politicized when you don't really have a community and you have to like stand up for yourself in things, you know, because I can only speak from my life when I explain my experiences. Those are the only things that are authentic. And yeah, it's been really hard being a person with like a mental illness and all of this stuff happening from whiteness. And then being with a white person who is also like understanding and deconstructing what white fragility is and like having to hold space for that because we're married. I think that, you know, even in a hetero couple, you would have to do that same thing when topics of sexism and like misogyny and all these other different things or division of labor in the house. I think also something that makes it really complicated in our relationship too, like, we are in a mixed income relationship. Like, Logan will never, I will always be a person that's able to like be in those types of positions in corporate or in leadership to where like certain things can be boatloaded. So even as a black person, as a person who looks at things in an anti-capitalist way, there are some people in our community that would be like, oh, you ain't making the same amount as me. Like, what we doing? You know, very rooted and brainwashed in a lot of different things. And I think one of the things that I've always appreciated is, like, when we say that we're in a queer marriage, we're in a queer relationship, for me, being queer is a political thing. I can't separate it from blackness and all that stuff for me. And having to unlearn, like, how much power do you have as a monogamous couple or a monogamous presenting couple? What does it look like to be married to your friends? Like, do you still develop those relationships, or what is family? Because we, you know, we have biological family, but we've had to really build our community with folks like yourselves. And what does it mean to show up in that way when there's no blood relationship whatsoever, but the love is still there? So I think that one of the things is I feel like I've been brave with in my marriage is just kind of the nuance that it's presented itself given its current circumstances. Because the love and like is still there. And to have that joy, even amidst all of this stuff, is like a gift in its own notion, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a gift. Thank y'all. I didn't expect to, like, I mean, we always, like, cry when we're together. So, you know, never mind. That was beautiful. And also very true. And like you mentioned, it's not that y'all haven't mentioned, but I did. It's not that I couldn't have married someone white. I just think I would have been very afraid for the reasons you both have stated. And I think that it definitely takes a level of bravery and transparency and vulnerability. But we're finding, like with us, that we've had to have real conversations lately and consistently about the power that Mike has as a black man, as a cis hetero black man, and like, and how, and us together, and just how do we treat each other? And also me having to, like, recognize my anti-blackness when it concerns cis hetero black men, like believing that they might not be as good as I say that they are, or they might, like, believing, having this fear in black men that I do think is anti-black, and not like, not like giving the space to show grace or to, like, to love in a way that's not, that's like gonna obviously, like, hold us both accountable and, like, not silence me, but also to love in a way that is gracious. And so, and realizing that we both have a lot to unlearn and unpack as black people and as cis hetero black people in a marriage, because our marriage does not look like a lot of marriages that we know, at least those who are older than us. And so these are definitely conversations that we're having, but, you know, obviously in a different way, but I think the effect and, like, the impact and the emotion that it takes and the bravery that it takes is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next question we have is, what have you had to sacrifice for your marriage?
Yeah. So we want, one thing each, as specific as you can, something that you can recollect, like, that was difficult for you to have to give up in order to make it work, whether that's something internal, a feeling, pride,
a person,
a place, a thing.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything that, like, offhand right now that you could pull from, is something that you had to sacrifice?
Something that I wanted? Like, something, are we saying, like, things that I didn't want to give up or things that were hard to give
either
up? Things that I just realized I had to let go of, mm-hmm, for my marriage? That's deep. I think I had to sacrifice, or I had to, like, give up, I guess, control. And I really am not good at that.
You guess.
I'm still not giving it up in a way that, but I've had to sacrifice control. Like, I write scripts in my head.
Friend, I'm gonna agree with you, Randy. I'm gonna agree with you on that. I have learned in my marriage and in my whole ass black ass life now, you can't make nobody do shit.
Yeah.
You don't control nobody.
A damn thing.
You don't control nobody. And I've never felt, I want to say this, I've never felt like I had to control people, but as a person who, like, gets put in leadership roles and or seeks those roles and or is always just trying to, like, do more things, it was nice to have a script and have a plan, but I don't have one now. Like, I think that's the control part that I've had to give up. I used to have a 5-year plan, 3-year plan, 12-month plan.
Yeah.
It was how I managed my anxiety. And then, like, you know, when I actively started dealing with my depression and, you know, X, Y, and Z, I was like, oh, not that it doesn't, like, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it don't matter.
It don't matter.
Like, literally, it don't matter. you know, so, yeah, just state what you can and, you know, it'll happen. Some right. negotiation of way of it.
And that's what I realized in the 4 years we've been married is that I can't control how you react to certain things I didn't expect you to react to, or like what you find. Like, we just
literally
talked about this last
only
night,
have control of self.
And we both have different triggers. So like he'll be way off the chart and I'll be like, what's wrong with you? But he's been triggered and I didn't realize. And so like I'm realizing that, like I had to, like, I have to really, for us to be good, I had to let it go. But do you want to answer before I?
No, I really just wanted you to share your thing. I think of something, something that I had to sacrifice for our marriage. I would have to say just a lot of ignorance. Randy, again, is a researcher. She's somebody who's just extremely aware of herself, which means I had to kind of be the same. Like, I can't walk around in the world no more acting like I don't know shit, as happy as that would have made me to do. I can't just walk around just like in my own world because I don't maneuver or live in my own world. That was my thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm trying to find the best word to describe it. I think partially what I want to say is like independence self-determination. Like, I'm a very individual person and I'm not very hesitant about expressing a contrarian view, like often to my detriment.
marriage, that'll get you killed.
Just in my temperament in general, but also sort of as a response to the trauma of like constantly fearing rejection, I very much navigated the world in this sense of like, as long as I survive as an individual and like pursue my own, you know, pleasure and enlightenment and like growth, like that's good. That's all I like need to be happy. And that's just not sufficient when you're in a marriage
anymore.
You're
not a Virgo,
like,
you really
are you? Do... No, I'm a Sagittarius, which is where the independence.
You both are Capricorn rising and lunar Taurus.
But it even comes down to like very basic things. Like sometimes like I just want to be like, can you leave me the fuck alone? Like, I just want some alone time, like where I don't have to hear your music or your podcast or like answer your question. And it's not that I don't love Jeff, but it's just like that personal space is something that means so much to me. And I like live so much in that like interior world that when I feel like I don't have the space for it, it makes me crazy. And I think that has been especially challenged during quarantine because I'm not getting the like 8 to 10 hours a day at the office in my own little bubble that I was. It's actually not a bad thing because like in a lot of ways I've learned how that independence was really a kind of coping mechanism to feeling like I was alone. So it's like kind of beautiful to let go of it, but at the same time I'm just like, god damn it, can you put on headphones when you're listening to
thank y'all.
For context, Jeff is an East Atlanta nigga, so we don't know how to
he
listen
don't
to music.
Mike, I have to come out. I'm like, can you turn the shit down? We have a child. If she wakes up, that's on you. Man. I'm not like, turn your shit down.
Whenever Drew stays with us, she's going to come back knowing like all the City Girl tracks and all of the Megan Thee Stallion. We play Gangsta Boo in the house. We just, you know.
Oh, she's been exposed
here.
Already. Yeah.
You know, we own one. We going to have some choreo. Funny. We're going to be doing the TikToks. We'll all have a joint TikTok.
Oh, no.
We'll support Drew.
He said the TikToks.
Well, that's if Trump doesn't ban it. Isn't that what he's trying to ban TikTok?
No,
he's so fucking
wild.
Are we not about to sully
the Chinese virus?
Let's not diverge. Hell no. This podcast will go real dark.
No, it really will.
No, we want to stay on the positive,
did
sad, emotional vibe.
Do y'all have any questions for us that you would like to answer?
What's the question?
We have two questions, actually.
Okay.
So the first question was about how being a dog parent to Groot prepared you for being a parent to Drew.
And we'll stop there.
Well, and I just want to say, not that we want to like compare them because they're obviously
very,
very
different
creatures, but more like how did it teach you and like give you a space to practice for cooperation and like teamwork and trust between the two of you as like two people trying to take care of something. And like,
because we got two of them, y'all, and they kind of got into a little argument and they were mad at each other for like 5 hours and it was real raggedy. They tore up each other's pillows.
Oh no.
And it's just, I don't think I was familiar before with like this feeling of like really loving a creature, but also like being like, oh my God, you're so impossible.
Yeah, that's a good question. We can speak to that. I mean, in a lot of ways.
This is not to compare having a child.
But these are two living things with souls that we are responsible for, or that we've taken responsibility for. So in that way, they are very similar. So, I mean, for me, I feel like when it concerns like trust and taking care of things, maybe it just showed me that. Because when we got Groot, Mike was like, no matter what happens, we're never giving this dog up. So,
and because of that, actually, I did walk into it because I was thinking of like, what is it going to look like when this family grows? So I wasn't thinking like, this is practice for a kid necessarily, but like, this is me trying to figure out who you are when it comes to like, we don't
longevity,
got no choice.
Like somebody has, you have to stay. And so
when Randy and I talked about what it was like to have kids, we wanted to be those parents that were active in our kids' lives, that are like around, aware of who our children are, supportive, all the healthy things that we didn't necessarily have ourselves that we wanted to, you know, be for our child. So in a way, you know, it was kind of like practice in that sense. So we had to start off on the right foot. Like, so when we talk about our marriage, we immediately bring up like, there's no divorce here.
We don't even play about
like,
it.
There's no abuse and it's not unhealthy, you know, but that's not the time that we on. So whatever it is that we're dealing with, we deal with as a unit and we work through. So that same attitude with Groot was like,
no matter what,
this shit, we're going to have to keep this dog. So
and we have to do it right.
Family.
And so that means, you know, dogs live a long time. So
especially like, and especially the two breeds that our dog
is. He's a pit in the lab. So he's going to live forever. And so there are lots of times when we had Groot, as y'all know, I was like, we can give him up. Like, we can put him outside.
I was very shocked because Groot was
I grew up with dogs.
A birthday present to Randy.
But there were some times, I mean, y'all remember when Groot was a puppy and it was just really hard. But so that really showed me that Mikey's really serious about like.
We going through this shit with Rose right now. She's a thoroughbred blue pit. And I'm like, girl.
Right. But if you get over that hump, I feel like we've definitely gained Groot's respect and he's gained our respect and he's a great dog, you know, and you see how he is with Drew and every other animal he comes in contact with. And
people,
and so.
Because again, how we raised him.
Yeah.
How we treated
him was socialized. So I think that definitely showed me that like Mike is really, so like when it comes to parenting, he would be like, no matter what, Drew has my unconditional love and devotion and dedication. And so, and I saw that if you could at least do that to a dog, and I've
who
always
just
told
fucked
Mike,
up my favorite pair of shoes.
I just, and Mike actually
just
said this.
He just chewed my favorite, but
not
still,
just
gotta,
now,
gotta
but
love
like,
him. You know, like not was, just now, but when he was a puppy and like trying to figure out how do you react when you don't want to react in anger and it is somebody or something that
you love.
And you don't want to be a person who
that's just beating
dogs. You could just beat the dog. Like that's a way to go.
You don't
want
to just beat the dog.
There are no lessons in that. This dog is obviously smart. Like how do you approach it? So in that way, it was absolutely like
it was very hard.
Yeah.
But I told Mike I could always tell how a man would be to in my opinion of when in how he treated dogs or animals
like based off how you treat
and how he treat
people who are helpless essentially.
Yeah. And so he's really good to Groot and. And I knew he'd be good with Drew. And so that like trained me in that with trust. But outside of that, y'all, nothing much because now that Drew's a toddler, I see that dogs are nothing but toddlers that won't age. And so it doesn't really help me because
they don't cook for themselves.
Drew
at some
can
point.
I can send him to his kennel. I can make him lay down. I tell him to sit. He don't move till it's time to move. And Drew was like, I don't give a fuck about none of this. I'm about to do whatever I want. Da 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 da, you know, like it's very. It didn't really.
Why you give her this voice?
That is Drew's voice in Randy's head.
That is how she is.
Da 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 da.
Well, no, she actually said that verbatim.
She was like, da 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 da. I was just like, so. Other than that, it has the dog.
It also did teach us how to work together in that sense, like how we would maneuver as a unit whenever there's something wrong with our dog. So for a while, Groot was, you know, at our apartment. We had a 1-bedroom apartment. Groot was in the kitchen. And he had like a fence, and so we had cameras on him, and we could just kind of see shit happening. That and we probably shouldn't have done that at all. But
he's
I remember,
we had to learn him.
Yeah, there was a day where I was at work, or I was supposed to drop Groot off at Randy's dad's or something of that nature, and I had to go like pick him up. So I had to leave work like while I was on the clock to go do something with Groot, and then I came back and my manager was there for like a pop up, like surprised, like check in. And it wasn't that, like, it wasn't anything bad. It was just like, I had to do it very quickly because the school was down the street from Randy's dad's house. But we, you know, the shit, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do for your child. Like, it just is what it is. That, like, damn the world. I'm going to have to do what I have to do.
Oh, this is disgusting. You just threw up all over this carpet, but we can't leave it here. Gotta, so like, it really helped us figure out, like, we're gonna do the dirty grunt work and the playful thing, and
I am at your I'm at the will of whatever it is you need or have to do, which is essentially what parenthood is, because it don't really matter how I feel.
I don't.
It is what Drew tells me I am allowed to feel right. At the same moment. So. And honestly, right. I like it that way.
Okay. Oh, did y'all have any?
Oh, the second one. There's one more question.
Do you want to ask it?
Yeah, I'll ask this one. So, the final question is, how does your personal sexual liberation / self-care practices / erotic relationships with yourself impact your marriage?
That's deep.
Heavily.
Do you want to go first, Mike?
No.
What?
Oh, you want me to go first? I can go first. So, prior to my relationship with Randy, you know, and some of our listeners know, that I was commonly referred to as a sexual deviant. I was active in these streets and I was a little reckless at times because I was missing that like self-care component. I did not give a fuck. I was just trying to fuck. And that was just the energy that I was carrying around. But when it comes to actually caring for somebody who I've decided to be with forever, that energy shifted, which had a couple of effects on our relationship. That means that now all of my everything is targeted at one person, which can be a lot for one person to deal with, because the energy that I was describing that I had is a lot. Like, for real, I know that I can be a lot.
I just want you to know that.
Sexually, that's how I feel. Okay. But I felt like entering into this relationship with you, originally I felt like she could handle it, but that was because who we were. No, hear me out. That was because of who we were dating. When you're dating, that's the highlight reel. You know, yeah. Like before marriage, it's one way. So like you were saying, like how Logan was when y'all first started was different than when y'all got to, you know, when y'all got to know each other. And then how Logan knew you when y'all first started was different once you got to see the other sides or the deeper parts of Jeff. So it wasn't until we realized, oh shit, when we're together all the time, you still want sex. And Randy was confused by that. She was like, you want to have sex right now all the time. Randy just thought, because again, we were like visiting each other on campuses, or we were seeing each other intermittently. Like, we knew when we got together what it was going to be. And so I was thinking, you knew in the morning when you woke up that today that same energy is going to apply, like at some point or all points during the day. Cause that's how I am. I really, last night would be a perfect example of this. I'm not going to get into it, but that same energy that is me. And so you just kind of have to figure out, and I had to do a lot of thinking myself to make sure that like, To just try to, I don't know how to word this. I had to just kind of gather myself to just recognize that I wasn't damaged. Like, we're compatible in some ways. In some ways, things need to be worked on or tweaked. Like, I will have to understand that this woman don't want to be penetrated 5 times a day.
Well, that's not always true.
Exactly. So like consistency.
Exactly.
Like, I have to be able to work with where she is. There are some days where she would be feeling it and some days where she's not. Whereas I would, like, that's the dream. Everyday life. But you know, like, so having to come together and figure that out was different. The good thing was, is Randy was like open to whatever.
Oh, like, right? Like, five? Girl.
Wait, what?
Shit.
What happened?
I'm listening to this and I'm like, you know, I have a high sex drive maybe 2-3 times a week. You said 5 a day?
The 2-3 times a week? That's not high.
It's how you have a toddler. Whenever we get out, we have a toddler.
That's what you're allowed to get off. That's high when you have a child. But that's the that's the target.
Still, yeah, no.
Bro, like two to three times a week is goals for me.
Well, now that we have this child, that's goals.
It's always God, we did it 3 times this week.
The minimum in my mind is like 2-3 times a day would be great. Morning, noon, and like.
But see, the thing with you is like sex isn't just like. Okay, when we have sex, it's always involved. It's not just like
I'm not a real quick.
He's
type
like,
of
let's
nigga.
Do a quickie.
It's about to be.
And I'm like, I'm not
it's
fucking
always
you
intense.
Because I have to go to work, and you don't really mean quickie. Like, that's what I mean. It's not just like sex. You want the appetizer.
Yeah, the experience of what sex is.
Anyway, So, my,
so and then again, a part of that being is in previous relationships, if I was just trying to bust and leave, then that's like the relationship that we now have was I'm trying to like get mine and get the fuck out. And you would be unsatisfied and unhappy. And that's fine because I had someone else that I could go to afterwards and you would probably call me up later. Like that was kind of the setup. But in a relationship, and especially in the one that I was trying to have with you, I don't want you to be unsatisfied your entire life or for the duration of your marriage with some nigga who's just like, okay, let me get mine real quick and leave.
And I appreciate that.
And also, it's really fun, like, with you. So, so again, just that. That was, yeah, nah, different sexual backgrounds definitely causes.
Well, I mean, for me, and it's so weird. It's so interesting how, like, it's so interesting that we have very, like, opposite experiences. As y'all know, Mike is my only sexual partner.
Like, and I also take that into account in my equation.
Which was, for me, very deliberate. Like, I knew that I, because of, like, my childhood experiences with assault and everything, that I didn't want a lot of people. I mean, I thought I would go through a whole phase and I realized that like I don't really need to.
I'm all the whole phase she needs.
He is. But like I for me, my mom was so passionate about us not being teenage parents that she taught us very young about that we had the power to please ourselves. Like you don't have to go out and find this stuff because you can do it yourself and it could actually be better. And maybe you should just like, you know, put your shit on incognito and like like get y'all like she really I think that was very radical of her, especially in you know just the age
for
we're
anybody
in,
listening
but,
we're talking about masturbation
and how both Randy's and I's moms encouraged that so that we weren't teenage parents.
This question is
about that's what we were asking about.
I was like, I don't want to say like how does masturbation affect your marriage.
That's the question.
So one, I feel like it gives me the power to when we're having sex to also engage with myself. Because I realized that like that's not the case for a lot of people, which is kind of sad, but because I've already had all these years with myself, why wouldn't I amplify this or like elevate this? And then it also comes to like a point where you, Logan, mentioned like just wanting time by yourself. Mike has been built and like has like routined himself into having sex with people, but I'm so used to doing it by myself, I don't always want to do it with somebody. Why I can go in this room?
It was exact opposite for me. You kind of were shamed.
He would be upset.
If you think about masturbating from what I come from. Like you're not getting pussy. Why are you doing this yourself?
He was like, why?
Fuck them niggas because I'm queer. It's different. I said fuck them niggas.
Yeah, so it did come up in our marriage. It's like, why didn't you call me in here? And I really had to be like, if I wanted to have sex, I would have asked to have sex. And so I've had to find a balance. And I think we've gotten a lot better.
Conversation also, we also didn't have sex. So we didn't have sex.
That was another thing.
Like
so we weren't having sex, but I was taking care of myself. So I had to really figure out like what that was about. And I realized that was also like a trauma response to like my childhood. Like I can engage with Mike and this doesn't make me dirty or nasty or doesn't make me, you know, and not because of anything that I had been told, but just because of how I was made to feel sometimes when I was a kid. And so I realized that like that doesn't have to be my narrative and I can involve him. And for some reason this like amplified in marriage. It didn't really come up when we were our sex life, like it wasn't a problem because we were already long distance. So it was like, you know, when you got together, you was fucking. Yeah. So and having to be put in a space where you are with each other all the time, as y'all know, especially in
quarantine. So now you have to have sex conversations, which
right?
Is just
we never used to talk about sex because there wasn't a question. Yeah.
I hate that. Listen, I know that a sex conversation is needed. But Logan and I, we realized this yesterday that we're inverse. Like, Logan loves talking. Like, it's a good, it works.
Uh-huh.
And also, like, during sex.
But, like, I'm one of those people, I love to feel some stuff. I don't want to talk about, I'm like, you should know. Like, you know these things.
I had to ask Mike, like, when we were younger, like, hello?
But you didn't.
Like, are you?
But the reason for that being was when I would talk, it would be with people who want me to say wild shit. And I was like, and so like, I understand that that's the relationship that we got. You want me to call you what? All right. So that's on the table. You want me to, so this is the type of response and this is what I'm going to get.
So he didn't know what he could say.
So with Randy, what I'm not going to say is look, motherfucker. Like while I'm like doing shit, like I call her all types of. I don't know, because that's not the energy that we had. And what you can't do is just
you can bring that
introduce that
listen.
Shit. But see, what you can't do is just bring it up.
Yeah, you have to talk about it. Like, you have to have sex.
Because imagine Logan calling somebody a bitch while you're doing something. They look at
sorry,
you.
I'm cursing.
Right.
Somebody that you've never called that before.
His,
you know, so.
He didn't know his
yo, same
limits.
Here.
His boundary, yeah, what the boundaries were.
I had to learn to be verbal, and it's cool when you can do it. But, like, I swear, because I hadn't been taught, like, I had a really healthy sex-positive relationship. My mom raised me very well in that way. But my father, from a masculinity standpoint, like, girl, like, what does sexual liberation look like? Like, I think that that's a whole other broader different discussion from a that standpoint. But, yeah, I forgot my motherfucking thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to say, like, I can very much relate to what you're describing, Randy. And I do think that it has been, it is weird how it is, like, sex becomes like a different thing after marriage, yeah, because you almost think of marriage as like this finish line.
Mm-mm.
And
it then is
like
not.
After that, race. Like it's all
it's
good.
A whole separate,
like it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think it's been even more like put under a microscope by being in quarantine together.
Mm.
And like I think that we've had a lot of really good conversations that have been challenging but also been like really productive.
I also think too, when you bring that up, especially just thinking about how our Pride Month was like a rage month for us because we had to like get the house in order. I do think that being an interracial queer couple in the South is challenging. Like we don't have mentors for this.
Yeah.
You know, we have peer mentors or friends.
We can't, like, call our parents and be like, what's it like when XYZ, you know?
y'all, In this situation, like, we're being our best example. Yeah. This whole thing, this whole unlearning thing in quarantine during, like, multiple pandemics, yo, it's very different. So
it is.
I hear that, too. That was the point.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
This was so great. this is so great.
That conversation went in a different way. Good questions.
We usually talk about, I mean, y'all listen to the podcast. It's more on like a, yeah, we need to have a sex conversation.
Maybe we haven't gone deeper into.
I mean, our questions were about dogs and masturbation. So you can tell how our quarantine has been.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Those are your priorities.
Listen.
I mean, honestly.
When we're having a baby free weekend. Those are ours too.
Look here. Last night.
But, Mikey.
I'm sorry.
So thank y'all again for coming
on. I'm
gonna
agree with you. Last night was lit.
Hey.
It was lit.
What I do? I put the key in, lock that thing.
Listen, it was
y'all
lit.
Are stupid.
I'm like, y'all, Rose came in and I was like, get out.
This is why we paid Kia another $50 to keep Groove. I don't have time. You ain't about to mess up my groove. No, do not come in here.
Liddy, okay. I've been praying for that day. That day came through. I was like, hallelujah. Come through, universe. Anyway.
Thank y'all. We love you. And mm-hmm. This was really great. We can't wait to for everyone to hear this and just for y'all to hear this.
Love y'all too. And you hear it here first. Please bleep out all curse words, anybody's names that I drop.
We are not bleeping out curse words.
We'll remove the names and the businesses that you mentioned.
We will absolutely do that.
You said them all.
Give Drew a kiss for us.
We will. Yeah. When we see her tomorrow.
Love.
We
will.
Love y'all.
We love y'all. Thank you.
Love y'all too.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Jeff and Logan.
That was great.
Here go Groot. That was really great. Y'all, we hope y'all enjoyed the episode and that you got like a look into what it's like being at their house when they come over.
Yeah.
Except we weren't eating and Jeff wasn't bullying us to take a hit.
Yeah. This is going to be probably the second of our 107 episodes.
I think that's what
it's more than that, obviously, with like the minis, but this is gonna be the second of our 107 that I'm actually gonna like listen back to just because of the respect of the work that it's gonna take to edit these people.
Well, I know earlier we said this was another married couple, but they are actually our first married couple
on the
podcast. So yeah, engagement. What are ways you have to show up in your marriage? What about your partner forces you to be brave?
Let us know.
Shoot us
an email. See, we're in sync. At blackmillmare@gmail.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098. Or hit us up on social media with your thoughts on this podcast. PDA. Yeah.
Want to hear from me?
Well, you have cooked every day this week.
Yeah.
every day.
We gotta eat.
Because that's just sometimes when it comes to roles and what the other is doing, you just stepped up. You cooked and I did what I do, which is largely podcast stuff and Drew stuff and hair and, you know, work at night. So thank you for doing that. And the food has been good and I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Why are you looking at me like that? You didn't like that PDA? I appreciate it. You didn't like it?
No, I like being enough. Thanked for doing stuff.
Oh.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
My PDA. This is going out today, tomorrow, in the future. Obviously, we did this in advance because we're professionals. So this is going out in a couple of days, right? And so by the time people will be hearing this, your birthday will be approaching.
Yeah.
And I am excited because your birthday is a holiday in my mind.
I know.
It always has been. I celebrate your birthday like people celebrate Christmas because my baby is that important. So I'm just looking forward to celebrating your day coming up. So I just wanted to just put it out there that people may be seeing some stuff on social media and shit in celebration of my baby. But I am super glad that you are here on this planet still. And I'm looking forward to just continuing to celebrate everything that is you this week.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
I speaking of birthday, when I'm really excited, we will not, but another, like,
I felt like that was segue say, into the next
yeah.
thing.
Yes. Thanks, babe. So wait, what is your PDA is? You're excited?
Because I love you and I'm really excited about your birthday. We're gonna celebrate the fuck out of you. This is good. Your birthday is coming up and it's a really big deal. And birthdays are in short fucking demand. At this time in life. So I'm glad that you, my black wife, got to see another one.
Thank you. I'm excited. I wasn't excited, but now I am because, yeah, for a lot of reasons. But speaking of birthdays again, we will not have an episode on the 24th of August.
Because, no episode on Sunday or Monday.
Yes, because we're taking a break. I'm taking a birthday break, okay?
A well-deserved birthday
break. I ain't working. I'm not doing work. I'm taking Thursday and Friday off.
Ain't no dog.
My beautiful baby. Who we love.
Brandy, you do not have to qualify.
She is not a burden.
She is not, but she ain't going to be here.
She is going to be with her yaya because socialization and family time where you could get it.
Mm-hmm.
And
more importantly, because as a married couple, you got to have sex together. or else you lose each other, you know?
As y'all heard in the episode. But they are so silly. But yeah, so we won't have an episode on the 24th because I did not want to edit or do anything. Mike didn't want to either. And so we're going to take a break.
Yes, but you will all be getting an indie this week.
Yeah,
that'll hold you over for the weekend.
Yeah, you'll get an indie on Thursday and I'm really excited about that one too. So anyway, yeah. Thanks, babe.
Yeah, this was good. For ad-free, extra, and exclusive content, head over to patreon.com/blackmillennialmarried.
The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is in Domino Sounds Network.
Woo!
New episodes every Monday and Thursday. We are now still available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all other major streaming services. Rate us five stars if you enjoyed this episode.
Be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com, and follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, what are we?
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook.
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_thechapmans. Thank you again for listening, y'all.
As always, be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
Root Insurance is all about you and how you drive. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price, which puts you in control. Just download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate. It's car insurance made for you. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.